The origin of the word Haggadah, we know because that's what the Passover Seder is. The book we read at the Seder is called the Haggadah. So this work actually goes back in abbreviated form, goes back all the way to the time of the Mishnah, years ago. It's been a favorite, it's been one of the most popular books sold. Every year, new Haggadah Shel Pesach are open up, and every year. So where does the word, why do we call it a Haggadah? Where does that word come from, Haggadah? So it comes from a verse in the Bible, Exodus 13:8. It says, V'gadata levincha. And it's talking about, you have a commandment to teach your child on that day. V'higadeta levincha b'yom ahu lemor. So we learn out from the word v'higadeta, that's what the word Haggadah comes from. So why v'higadeta levincha? What about the normal regular word? You should talk to them lemor. Usually when we say you talk to your children. Here he uses a different word, to tell your children. What's the difference to tell them versus to say to them? So the commentators explain that when you're telling someone, so basically just informing someone, it's the same message for everyone. You're just giving an FYI. You know, it's raining outside or we're having this for dinner. But Lahagid, it's a more of a personal message. It's geared to the level of the listener, to the one talking, to the whole situation there, and it goes much deeper into the meaning. So, in other words, all year round, we have a mitzvah all year round to remember the Exodus from Egypt, because there are actually three verses in the Bible in three different places teaching us the different aspects, but on one level, you have the commandment all year round to remember what happened. In fact, in the Haggadah, we read that at every night of the year, 365 days a year, 354 days a year, we all have a commandment to remember the Exodus from Egypt. So what does that include? So as we mentioned, anytime the Torah says to remember, it doesn't mean to remember only. It doesn't mean to have a moment of silence. When the Torah says remember, it means you have to verbalize it. It's not enough just to be cognitive of what's going on. But when the Torah says remember, it refers to actually verbalizing it with one's mouth, with one's lips. So therefore, so all year round, how do we, by reading the verse in our prayers at night, when we read the verse about the Exodus from Egypt, we fulfill our biblical commandment of remembering. That's a commandment that applies all year round. So if we have a commandment to remember the Exodus all year round, so what's so special about the Seder night? I have a mitzvah yesterday, the day before, next week. So they have a second verse to teach me that it's not enough just to, all year round, it's enough just to read the verses. But on the night of the Passover, Maimonides connects the mitzvah of remembering the Exodus with Egypt. Remember this day when you left Egypt. Just as it says, remember the Shabbos day to keep it holy. So Maimonides seems to compare the mitzvah of remembering every Friday night to the mitzvah of remembering on the Seder. So what's the connection? What aspect is he teaching us that we don't know? So the commentators explain, because when we say to remember the Sabbath, it's not enough just to recite Kiddush and then go on and do everything the same. You have to do, what do we do? What does Shabbos represent? 6 days a week, God created the world. And the seventh day, He rested, so that's what we do. 6 days a week we work. Again, work's defined differently than work with a job, but however we define whatever creative work means. So 6 days a week, we have a commandment to work. And the seventh day, we have a commandment to rest. So therefore, we do an act of imitation. So the 6 days a week, we're working. And the seventh day, it's our day of rest. And that's why we make Kiddush to show even those who, let's say, who are resting all week long, but we want that rest to be different on Shabbos. So we make the Kiddush to show you're resting now, not because it's not like you rest on Tuesday. You're resting on Shabbos now because you want to give testimony that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. So an added dimension all year round, it's enough to verbalize it. On the night of Passover, it's not enough just to verbalize it. We need the experiential. We have to experience it. So it's not enough just to read the words of Kiddush and say God created the world and that's it. You have to actually do it. You have to work. You have to rest on the seventh day. So the second aspect of the night of Passover, we need the experiential. It's not enough just to do it over. And that's why, what do? We do plenty experiential. We have the matzah in front of us. We eat the bitter herbs. We ask the four questions. We get the children involved. So it's not enough just to verbalize the Exodus from Egypt, but we have to go through all the experiential. Like, that's what we do when we read the Haggadah. We are going through all the different aspects of, we're elaborating on it, and we're drinking the cup of wine, we're eating matzah, we're dipping the vegetables in the salt water, etc. So that's the second aspect we have. But the Bible, the Torah gives us a third verse. So what's the third lesson? There are three verses to teach us three different things. So the first one taught us it's enough to verbalize. That's all year round. But the night of Pesach, it's not enough to verbalize. We have to do the experiential. We eat the matzah, the maror, we drink the wine, we drink the grape juice. However, there's another verse, and the third level is telling me something else. That the first verse, Laman Tizkor, is telling me about, so the third level is Vigata to Levincha. It's not enough that you're verbalizing. It's not enough that you are doing the experiential, but you have to give it over to the next generation. You got to give it over to your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Seder is rooted in it's a family affair. There's a family quality to the Seder. And that goes back to biblical law. Back when we had the temple, what did they used to bring? Why is it called the holiday of Passover, a Pesach? Because they brought the Paschal lamb. And what did you have to do? You had to make reservations. Pre-designated groups that you told the people, you know, our family is 10 people, 3 people, 25. You made pre-designated groups that consisted of the family members, children, guests, whoever you were including at your Seder. No other ritual required pre-reservations. Only the Paschal lamb, because the Paschal lamb is representative of the family quality that we want you. You got to give it over. You have to give over Judaism to the next generation. You got to do it all year round, but especially on Passover. And that's why the rabbis added to this. They got the lesson from the Bible and they took it to the next step. What do? We introduced a lot of participation from the children. We get them to ask the Manishtana, whether it's the youngest one, any of them. We do many things to get them to ask questions. Why are we dipping this in salt water? Why are we eating matzah? Why are we leaning on our all these questions is to get the children involved. It's the mitzvah of chinuch, the mitzvah of educating. That's our literally children, but all our, you know, family members, grandchildren, you know, friends, etc. So that's what the three. So now we understand why we have three verses. Number one is to teach me all year round, every night we have a mitzvah to remember the Exodus from Egypt. And that's how do we remember it? By verbalizing it. But that's only good the other nights of the year. on the night of Passover, the Bible gives us two other verses. And one is teaching us the experiential, like the Shabbos. It's not enough just to make Kiddush, but you got to rest on the Shabbos day. So too, we go through all the matzah, marah, and wine we go through during the Seder. But verbalizing experiential is not enough. On the night of Passover, we got to look to the next generation and make sure it's not enough that I'm sitting here and my children are sitting here. I have to make sure my great-grandkids and all, I have to teach my children have to have a Seder and the grandkids, so they give it over to their generation. That's why if we could put it this way, the three verses are teaching me the three different parts to focus on. The first commandment, Laman Tizkor, focuses on the past. In Judaism, we can never forget our past. And it's an instruction to recall the events of ancient history. The second pasuk, Zachar, relates to the present, to right now. How do we do that? By reliving in the present what happened in the past. And therefore, we sit, we drink the wine, we eat the matzah. But the third one, Vigada to Levincha, it's a look to the future, to the next generation. And it requires that we instill in them Jewish identity, Jewish values, in order that they're able to give it over to the next generation. Hence, we need the three verses when it comes to the night of Passover. In fact, there's a famous explanation from the original Lubavitcher Rebbe, or one of the, if not the original, one of them. He says over an explanation on the four children that we read in the Haggadah. We talk about the wise child. We talk about the wicked child. We talk about the simple child, the Tam. And we talk about the child, She'eino Yadea Lisho, the child who doesn't know how to even ask. So they point out there's a famous, so the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the one who he passed away in 1950, I guess about 70 years ago. He lived from 1880 to 1950. So he says, so remember, so he said this before 1950, so we'll be able to add something to what he's saying. So, but when he was saying it, he said the four children represent the four generations of, he said the American experience, I'll throw in the North American experience. So U.S., Canada, and what is that? So he says as follows, he says, the wise child, the Chacham. So what happened? Many of our, you know, ancestors, parents came over from Europe, Eastern Europe, from Europe. So it says the wise child, the Chacham, he represents the European roots. In other words, he's talking about the European roots where the families were observant, they kept the Shabbos, they kept the commandments. And that was the grandparents who came to America. You know, but the way he says it, we dressed in shtreimels and kapatas, you know, dressed like Hasidim, steeped in piety. You don't have to be that to be about that. He's Lubavitch. They dress a certain way, and you know, basically a firm observant Jew who kept the Jewish traditions. That's the Chacham, the one who came over, the grandfather who came over from Europe. Unfortunately, the wicked child. He was brought up in the melting pot of America. He rejected his parents' customs and the way of thought. He thought himself, wow, we're in a new country. Who needs Judaism? That's old news in Europe, maybe. But now we enter the new world, America. We have no time for any of this. You know, the one who threw his tefillin into the water when they landed, he turned his back on the Jewish tradition. And he just focused it on his business and other endeavors. That's what he calls, that's the second generation. That's the Russia. He rejected his father's traditions of Judaism. The third generation, he says, is the simple child. As you can imagine, he is very confused because he doesn't get it. He's close to his grandfather. So he sees his grandfather making kiddush Friday night and davening every day, keeping kosher, you know, keeping all the commandments. And he sees his father, like, not keeping anything, going to work on Shabbos, whatever he's doing. So the memory of it, the grandfather, is at one point was strong, but it's fading quickly. And all he sees now is his father not keeping anything. So he's very, you can imagine, the confused child. He doesn't know what to do. His grandfather did one thing, his father did another. So that's the third generation. And then he said the fourth generation, again, he died before 1950. So the fourth generation is the child who doesn't even know how to ask a question. It's a real tragedy because he was probably born after his great-grandparents had died. He only knows about his assimilated grandpa who doesn't keep anything, and his confused religious, confused father who didn't know what to do. He got mixed messages from his grandfather and father. He's so confused, he doesn't even know how to ask questions. This is our mute American generation, the one who thought that when someone visited the great-grandmother and they saw her lighting candles at Yontif, the child asked, whose birthday is it today? Because the only time this person, the granddaughter ever saw candles was at a birthday party, because she never saw her mother light candles. So she doesn't even know how to ask the question. So that's how he explains the four generations. The wise one was the grandfather steeped in piety. The wicked one is the one who rejected the Jewish traditions. The third generation, very confused. I don't know what's going on. I get mixed. And the fourth one doesn't even know how to ask questions. However, that was 1950. Now, fortunately or unfortunately, we're moving into the fifth generation. And that's why it's alluded to also. They talk about having five cups. That's why we have the cup of Eliyahu. The fifth, say what you want about the first four. They showed up at the Seder. Whether he's the wise, the wicked, the simple, they show up, you know. They know they had to come. But the fifth generation, unfortunately, they're so removed from Judaism, some don't even know it's Passover. Some don't even know they're Jewish, perhaps. And the one who does not know, and somehow he stumbles at the Seder. And so the fifth generation, which was becoming, you know, a dominant, a good majority at one point. So what's our job is when we open the door for Eliyahu HaNavi, the prophet, we have to hold the door open for every Jew who has yet to come in. And then perhaps not only the fifth generation, but the prophet Eliyahu will come too, as it says in Malachi, to restore the hearts of the children to the parents and the hearts of the parents to the children. And when the door is held wide open and we learn to speak to our fifth generation, then we'll restore our lost heritage and we'll be privileged to usher in the redemption. So therefore, the fifth generation, the four sons, at least they're at the Seder. Our job is to make sure that people don't even know. To bring in the fifth generation to make sure they're serving. And that's why he explains the four children of the four generations. But that's what we're pointing out here. We have on the night of, because it says, you know, there's a saying in Yiddish or other, a Jew has three eyes. Because what's interesting is because one of the four species we shake on Sukkot is the myrtles. And it says the myrtles represent eyes. You know, each part of the esrog represents the heart. The lulav represents the spine. And the willows represent the lips. And the myrtles represent the eyes. So the question the commentators ask is, but there are three, we have three branches for the myrtle. So don't we only have two eyes? The answer is no. A Jew always has to have three eyes. Not literally, but theologically, what does it mean? Because a Jew always has to remember where they come from. They got to remember the past. You got to live in the present. And you always have to have your eye on the future. That we always have to go back and learn from the traditions, you know, traditions, our parents, grandparents, and take on the traditions. We have to incorporate them into present day. At the same time, keep an eye out on the future to make sure that our family members, friends, you know, are continuing in the tradition. In fact, there are two words in Hebrew that seem to say the same thing. We have a mitzvah the night of Passover. There's one word it says, lemor, as we said to say, and the other one is lahagit. So one answer we gave is, haggadah means it's not enough to say it, you have to demonstrate it, you have to actually live it. No one likes to hear someone telling them something and they don't do it themselves. It's not going to, a powerful message is you, in other words, you do it and then your kids will learn from you. They're not going to learn if you say one thing and keep, so it's not enough to say it, you have to actually live it yourself. If they see you at a Seder, the likelihood of them being at a Seder, there's no guarantees, but there's a much greater likelihood. But another explanation is the different words mean, when you say lemor, this means you're saying over something that everyone knows already. You're saying over something from the past. Lemor. But lahagid is something in the future. In other words, that's the balance we need the night of Passover. On one hand, we always have to go back to our traditions. We have to go back to the Manishtana, the Halak Ma'anya, Dayenu, we make Kiddush, we eat the matzah. We always have to base ourselves on our traditions. But as we all know, we can't live in a vacuum. We can't have our heads in the sand. The Jewish principles don't change, but the world changes. And you have to be able to take the same message that your grandparents or parents taught you to your generation. We got to take the same powerful message, but we got to explain it in the terminology of the generation we're in. We have to be able to take the principles that we have, but obviously you can't say it the same way it was 100 years ago. They'll just tune you out. You got to, every year you got to try to make the Seder interesting and gear it to the people at the table to get the, you know, every, you know, and that, and there's a lot of leeway on, you know, we have the basic skeleton of the Haggadah. But that's just the springboard. That the point is to raise, you know, interesting topics, to see, especially more when you're having, you know, it'll be not necessarily this year in a communal Seder, but more when you're having, hopefully in the future, when you're having a Seder at home, you know, if people go with the children, grandchildren, on those type of things. So therefore, one is that we always have to be looking into the past to see where our principles come from and our values, but at the same time, we have to make it new. The same Haggadah, why am I reading the Haggadah again? I read the same Haggadah last year, the year, I've been reading the Haggadah for 50 years. The answer is, the Haggadah is not changing, but hopefully we're changing. We're different people, we're certainly a year older, hopefully a year brighter, and we got to take all the new messages that we've learned this year, that we've experienced, experiential, you know, and whatever lessons, you know, will be a difficult year with COVID and lockdowns and everything else, but all the things that we've grown from and we've learned and we've experienced, that we have to share with the next generation, with our children, etc. That's what the Haggadah is all about. It's a balance between, we have to be able to balance the past with the future at the same time living in the present, as a Jew has three eyes. And that's why we need the three verses. One verse is the past. We always have to go back to our past because that's where our roots start, in the Exodus from Egypt and Mount Sinai. And then we have to live whatever generation, the Torah applies to any generation. We take those principles and we apply them to our own lives and we live ethical and you know, we try to live ethical and happy and happy lives. And as well, at the same time, it's not enough just to take care of ourselves. We always have to look to the next generation, to our children, grandchildren, and ensure they're also continuing on in the principles. And that is the message of the night of Passover. It's a message of education, and that's why it's always in question and answer form. In order, and we're not limited to every person. Every person, you know, answers the question a little different. That's why we write it a little differently in the Haggadah than we does in the Bible, because to show every person is different. Everyone learns a little differently, is a little different. We have to try to gear, on one hand, this generic Seder, but to gear as much as we can, you know, to the individuals and the people at the Seder today.